When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
We got the Wolf, Will Whitson, with us in studio today instead of the C-Unit. Oh, man. I knew that Eddie from Amity was going to make a call because he sent a text in 9 minutes after the show started today. He says, don't ever say Mus is leaving again. You know what I mean. I'm not exactly sure what he means. He gave us a call here, too, on the McLarty Daniel hotline at 877-377-6963. I'm just going to venture a guess, Eddie, that I know I brought it up in the first segment yesterday, but that was just based upon a tweet, like a cryptic tweet from Kevin McPherson from Hogville. It's all I was doing. It's like, you know, people say there's smoke signals here and there, and then they don't give you any information about it. But I don't think he's leaving. Do you?
Dang it, man. I remember Mike Anderson and all those guys loving him, but dang it, he just didn't talk basketball like Mus does. But I just wanted to throw my vote in and my support to please Devontae Davis come back. He's an anchor. He is an anchor for the Hog basketball team. He's going to be his whole career. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay. Appreciate that, Eddie. Thank you. So it's like, you didn't want Mus to leave. He doesn't want Debo to leave. Okay. Sooner or later, one of them will be gone, and then probably both of them at some point. You know, just how things work. Debo was only out there for 11 and a half minutes. I don't know. I guess I'm surprised, but that's only... I shouldn't be surprised because the ebb and the flow of who gets minutes this year, but, you know, you've pretty much settled in on your eight-player rotation. Debo's part of it. You don't give minutes anymore based on the fact that it might be senior day. That's just, it's not a thing. He didn't start, but I guess it would be tough to argue against the guys who got the bulk of the minutes, which would be Battle, Ellis, Mekhi, and Jeremiah Davenport.
Yeah, Phil, I'm a big time Debo fan. I was surprised that he didn't get to start one. I was kind of surprised he only played 11 minutes. On the offensive side, like on the three he took, I don't know if you watched the game. He kind of forced a couple issues, mm-hmm. and then the three he took, there's nobody by him. There's 15 seconds on the shot. You know, it's like, take two dribbles up and you still could have got the three off. There's something's clicked over on his offensive side where he's not really, it's almost like he's not enjoying himself. Yeah, I look at it, a lot of other players out there smiling and having fun. I don't really see a smile on Debo's face right now for some reason. And that's just, I don't know anything. You know, it's not like I know anything, but you just kind of notice his body language is a little down.
Well, I mean, I think, look, there have been moments where, to use the term that the kids will use these days, he's up in his feels quite a bit. I mean, that happened last year, when he left the program. Who knows the situation when he left this year, but can get up in those feels sometimes. But this also goes along with the sort of the ebb and the flow. I mean, it's like remember when the San Francisco Giants won the World Series three times all in an odd year. Every other year, they win the World Series under Bruce Bochy. This is what you got going on with Devo as far as the minutes are concerned right now. You know, he returned against Georgia, played pretty consistently for three games, 6 minutes, 40 seconds against A&M. The next week, 34 minutes against Mizzou, then 12 minutes against Vandy, 26 against Kentucky, and only 11 and a half against LSU. It's just, I mean, but it hasn't just been him. Just a month ago when the Hogs lost to LSU, Matt, Caleb Battle played, what, like 8 minutes and didn't score. Now you can't even imagine him not starting and not even scoring like 25 to 30.
The thing that Battle's done, and I've been screaming this from the mountaintop since SEC play started. I marked it down in the book. You know, I take notes when I watch these games. I noticed three different times, Phil, he's open for a three-point shot. He waits for the defender to come to him, fakes it, and then drives. And you're just like, 3 weeks ago, he would have just been shooting that shot right away. So I think he's evolved. I think both coach and player are on the same page a little bit better now. I think they're more comfortable with each other. But 45% of his points in this purple patch are coming from the charity stripe.
That's right.
That's his thing, man. I've been screaming. His thing is he's so athletic. He can get to the hoop. He jumps into your body, kind of creates the contact himself, and then is able to still get his shot off. He's been a joy to watch the last couple games, and that doesn't mean you can't take a three when it's there, but that needs to be your last thought is your three-point shot.
Well, I think about, they call him the three-level scorer, but there's like four levels, because there's anything behind the three-point line, there's the mid-range game, there's getting to the rack,
in the paint,
and then there's getting to the foul line.
Absolutely.
And he's done it all. Like he scored 34 and 29 in the last two games with three total three-pointers.
Set an SEC record on a four-game conference patch. Jody Meeks had the record, if you remember, from Kentucky. He was drafted by the Lakers, played for a few years, and just a bona fide scorer. So he eclipsed that. So he's number one on the list for a four-game stretch.
But he's also gotten better in a lot of other ways, right? I mean, he's rebounding now. He's defending
his
better.
His anticipation on defense, I think, is better too. He's had a couple blocks. He was able to get steals. And you talk about a smile on their face. I mean, you look around. I mean, he's got the biggest smile out of everybody.
That's exactly right. So, you know, he's at, 141 points in the last four games. 41% of those points coming from the foul line.
That's it, man.
It's not a fluke. I mean, that's 58 points in four games on made free throws.
He's the best free throw shooter I can remember. Your percentages can be different because of how you play, but what I mean is he's the best free throw shooter I can remember in the last 20 years. I'm sure there might be somebody else, but for his minutes and what he's doing constantly, I'm not talking about going 3 for 3 or 3 for 4 every day, being able to go 17 to 18, 14 to 15. I mean, it's just unbelievable what he's been able to do at the charity stripe.
Well, and it's like, you know, don't let him get to the foul line. You can appreciate the idea of the other coaches saying the same thing. It's like the same idea as defend without fouling. Well, that's a little more difficult to put in practice than it is to just say it. But like a guy like Battle here is four games in a row. So they're trying to not foul him. And it's like you're saying, he wants the defender to come over. He wants to be challenged by a defender if he's wide open, because he knows he's got a way to get to the free throw line where it's basically two easy points for him. 120 shots in these last four games. Almost as many free throws as field goal attempts. 62 field goal attempts, 58 free throws. So, I mean, moving forward, he says at the post game, and he said on I forget the name of the kid, but he does the driving around show on YouTube. He had Battle in the car, and he says he's a Razorback to the end. He's coming back next year. Like that, it sounds like his decision's already made. Must said it's up to him. So here is a guy that, I mean, look, if you've made the point about this, Matt, and you're right, there's so many other things you got to do as a basketball player, and up until recently, maybe Battle's been that proverbial one-trick pony. But he also, let's just say that he struggles to defend, struggles to rebound, all of those things. The scoring that he's giving you right now is so special that you got to have him on the floor. But it goes along with the other things, too. It's like, I think he's got to feel better about himself as a basketball player overall, you know, is it the chicken or the egg? Like, is buying into the defense leading to, you know, a little more confidence of his ability to get to the foul line? I just don't know where it comes, but he's just playing as a much better player. And Matt Eaton right now looks like a guy that you might build around for next year's roster, along with maybe if you can get Mark to come back.
Yeah, I think Mark is our most complete player as far as offense and defense. But what Battle's been doing, I've been writing that down too. But I've noticed his anticipation, his knowing where to be. And it's about your basketball IQ. It's like working smarter, not harder. It's being in the right spot where you can make the defensive play, being in the right rotation where you can be over. And it's not about making hero plays. And then on the offensive side, he's just making the right play. You can't stay in front. One guy can't stay in front of him. You're going to have to double team him, and then it sets up everybody else. And then Mitchell, I mean, his passing has been so good.
Yeah.
They had 18 assists. I thought they moved the ball well. It wasn't just Battle. I know Battle did his thing, but it wasn't just like, oh, well, it was just Battle. I think the role players, Davenport played well. L. Ellis, he's been playing better. You don't know what you're getting to. And then the other thing, we didn't see Landon Blocker. You know, I thought that we would continue to see Landon Blocker. But no, excited for L that he's been playing well as well.
Well, it was fun to watch yesterday, and truthfully, I mean, I wasn't able to watch the Kentucky game because of the Arkansas-Murray State baseball game, but I know that was a fun game to watch, and I mean, you get two teams going over 100 points, maybe you bemoan your defense, but over 200 points in a basketball game at least is going to be entertaining in a regular season, not an all-star game maybe, and I mean, like Muss had said yesterday, I mean, I think the Tennessee game, which was ugly from the start. Look, Tennessee right now is playing the best in the SEC, and it's not even close. There's a lot of teams that they've done that to and would have done it to that day. But, you know, there may be like, what was there, an 8 or 9 minute stretch against Vanderbilt, which pretty much cost you that game, and you should never be losing a Vandy at home, but they are playing basketball that's at least worth watching if you want a good game. Like, you turn it on, you want to see them win, but you don't want to feel like you've wasted your time and watch a blowout. And I just don't see that right now. And for a while, that's exactly what was going on. Like, I would have not blamed you for not turning the television on. But at least it's entertaining now. Playing hard, playing well.
Man, I was so excited that Lawson yoked on somebody. That was, did the kids still say yoked on? I don't know if that's still a thing. But he stole the ball at half court and threw it down. That was so cool to watch. I thought Brazil, he had a little thing going early. And then they attack him on defense. They get him in pick and rolls. They get him in switches. And that's all they did whenever he was out there. So coach had to take him out. You talk about, you know, being able to play. You still have to be competent. And that's what Battle is, you know, on the defensive side. You can't be a liability out there. And Brazil's still a liability at times on the defensive end.
The kids say you get yoked on, like Nikola Jokic.
Joker.
I'm not sure Jokic is doing much dunking.
Yeah, he's a below the rim player too. That's like Lawson. That's why it was so cool to see. I mean, he didn't jump 7 inches off the ground, but he's still rah.
I don't know. Getting yoked on seems like something incredibly personal, or it could go back to the chicken or the egg conversation.
Maybe it's a Chef Ramsay thing.
Yeah, not eating any raw eggs. Thank you very much.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile device. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
Brett Dolan with us here on Halftime. Appreciate that today, Brett. How you doing?
Hey, I'm great. I'm just hoping the weather cooperates. We've got outdoor sports. You get indoor sports for a few more days, but we'll see if Mother Nature lets us play some baseball this weekend.
Yeah, the roof held at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena yesterday with all the rain. I was a little worried they might have to, bang yesterday's basketball games. I'm iffy on the idea of any baseball tomorrow, but they canceled today's softball 2 days ago. Guess it's just trying to, wait and see what the pattern looks like. But here's one thing I know, Brett. You don't want Hagen Smith to go out there and not be able to let him go as long as he possibly can. So I think that'll be in the coaches and administrators' minds, too.
Well, but the other part of that is if he pitches on Saturday in a doubleheader, I think you'd like him fresh for the Friday SEC game. Mm-hmm. And not that 6 days or 7 days is that big of a deal. But, just keep these pitchers in their routine. So I'd kind of like him optimally fresh for Mizzou a week from Friday.
Yeah, you're right about that. Boy, the weather just doesn't always cooperate when it comes to baseball, does it? So with McNeese coming in this weekend, aside from, wanting to sweep the whole thing, there are some jobs that are open right now. The center field is not settled. Second base right now with Peyton Stovall coming back is not settled. Top of the batting order is not settled. I don't even feel the catching position is settled. So there's a lot going into this weekend for a team that's 10-2.
Absolutely. And I do think this is a weekend where these bats can get right. And obviously if it's cold or wet or windy, maybe it's not perfect hitting conditions, but that's been the element, and I think Dave gave them a C-plus or a C for a grade a week ago, and it probably has been different than I expected from an offensive standpoint, at least from home runs and key hits and all of that fun stuff that we enjoy. So I'll be curious to see how he kind of manipulates his lineup this week, because you're exactly right in all of those positions, and if Stovall's coming back soon, all of a sudden there's a kid named Souza who's pretty good. And we've talked about Sprague Lott and Holt, and then the outfield seems to be even more of a mess than the infield, because I do think there's enough people to hit on that infield. It's just a matter of who and when and where. But there's a couple guys in the outfield that probably need to kind of get it going before we start these conference games in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, there's a logjam as far as who Dave will give the at-bats to at certain situations. And I forget a little that Peyton Holt can play some outfield. So I think that we may see him in left field at times if Jason Jones isn't out there. You want Sprague Lott bat in the lineup. I think Nolan Souza is a bat that they're going to want to get into the lineup too. I wonder if they'll eventually look at him at third base for part of this season. Or just DHing, because his bat is special. But I do wonder about, is it a feeling like we're just trying to figure out what this lineup can look like and just try to scratch out enough runs in anticipation of Stovall coming back? And then when he's back and he's, in a week or so and he can get his timing in and everything, it's like he is the kind of hitter, and we've only seen it for a month in his freshman year, but he is the kind of hitter that can really be the linchpin to a lineup to get it to click.
He can be. I'm a little bit concerned just not seeing a lot of live pitching, and I know he was maybe excited for the possibility of facing Oral Roberts next Tuesday before Mizzou on the weekend, but I think to your point, if he is acceptable as he gets kind of going again and doesn't show a lot of rust, then he is going to be in that leadoff spot It should at least solidify the placement in the lineup surrounding a few of those positions that we might see still some battles for, like center field or third base or whatnot. But at least you don't have as much movement within the top four or five guys. And I think that kind of helps settle things down. But again, you're just trying to score enough runs for your pitching staff to be able to kind of cruise to some wins. But it certainly would be nice, I would imagine, some days if that offense kind of gets back to where we kind of thought they might be.
Pinstripes on Tuesday, huh? I wasn't there as I was traveling with basketball. I didn't realize until I saw the front of the jerseys that it's the block lettering Arkansas font that we see, you know, kind of all over campus with Razorback Athletics. I thought that it might have been, you know, like, I don't know, a cursive Arkansas or something like that. I like the pinstripes. I'm just not sure if the lettering worked out. It was really small letters, which kind of mirrors what you've seen with the big league uniforms now, where the lettering and the numbers are just tiny.
Yeah, you need reading glasses, I think, for some of them. No, I was excited to see the pinstripes. We probably didn't talk about it as much on television as we should have because, you know, people enjoy the different looks, or some of them are critical of it, whatever it is. But it was different, I would imagine we'll see that a few more times, too, at some point,
yeah,
too.
I would think so as well. Women's basketball tonight. I mean, they beat Auburn, but it was a different team even a month ago. You know, they've been beaten up right now, Brett, you know, not only with Talia Scott's absence and the mystery that's sort of surrounding it, just everybody's very tight-lipped about it, but Carly Johnson hasn't played. Sailor Poffenbarger, you know, she took a hit to the head on Sunday. I don't know if she's available today or not. It's just, you know, you try to dream up instances in which you can beat a team a second time, and it's already more difficult if you're fully healthy, and this team has been anything but fully healthy, and it just gets worse and worse.
Well, it does, and I think that's the tough part. I think because they've been so shorthanded to begin with, players have had more minutes and just more tread off their tires. So then you get later in the year and it gets harder to play 35, 40 minutes. And then it seems like instead of getting a few people back, the rotation actually gets smaller and smaller. And if there's any more injuries or foul trouble, it's just almost untenable just to try and get out there and have enough bodies to compete. And I think the other part is we're only human. And when you start losing games, you've lost four in a row and you kind of realize you're not going to the NCAA tournament, it becomes even harder to kind of power through. Conference tournament does provide a bit of a reset, but I think even if they win three games, I don't think that's enough. And the possibility of trying to win four when you've lost four in a row is just really a tough mental hurdle to try and overcome.
Hey, Brett, I want to get your thoughts on the four number one seeds in this NCAA tournament. I watch a lot of SEC ball. I haven't got to see Arizona play. Haven't really seen Iowa State play. I'm a Shaka Smart fan of Marquette. Give me right now who you think, when the selection committee gets it all said and done, who's going to be the four number one seeds in the college tournament?
Oh, boy. I don't know if I'm fully ready to throw out four. I think Houston will be one. I think they've earned it. They've been probably the best team. I thought, Matt, when they went to the Big 12, they would have a few more losses, and they've had more close games, but they found a way to win those close games as of late. Still think Tennessee has a great chance, and we've watched them just kind of solidify things in the SEC. Iowa State's interesting because I feel like they're maybe in that two-seed conversation, and then whether or not they can get over the hump. I really think the committee would love to have a West team like Arizona be a number one. Mm-hmm. They had a loss at home to Washington State, and they were a ranked team, but those are games that you probably need to win if you're going to be a one seed. I try and watch as much Arizona as I can because I spent a lot of time in Tucson and kind of a little Wildcat fan myself when I get a chance, but I don't know if they're quite good enough. But I think if they could win the conference tournament, then maybe they might be that West Coast number one.
I think this might be a year that Tennessee is able to remove the regular season and from Rick Barnes' nickname. It's funny, I was watching on Twitter this morning, Fran Fraschilla just tried to celebrate Barnes' regular season championship by pointing out he was unceremoniously dumped by Texas, hired by Tennessee the same day. I mean, these all these years ago, and now has a regular season championship, but no postseason success with Tennessee, and the Texas fans were pretty quick to point that out. And then Fraschilla went back at him. He was calling them jackasses. It was very entertaining morning programming.
It does seem like there are some coaches that are very successful in March. And you can be a good head coach but not have a lot of success in March. And I think that's kind of a barrier, and I don't know what it is. I mean, I'd love to kind of get inside some people's minds. Is it a mindset? Is it an approach? What is it that allows some coaches to have success in March when others that win a lot of games can't really get to that second weekend, let alone the third weekend in college basketball? And it's bizarre. You know, there was one time I covered a regional, and it was in Tucson, and Bobby Knight brought Texas Tech in. And he had this saying, he goes, "You guys get me to the second weekend, I'll get you," meaning the players, "to the Final Four." Like, he could have just enough influence, or whether it was strategy, whether it was game planning, if his team could get him a couple of wins, he would find a way to get to them to the Final Four. And there's a lot of coaches that just can't win those first two games. And I don't know what it is. I don't even know what makes sense when you can win 23, 24 games every regular season and have good teams, but you kind of see your aspirations melt away once you get into the NCAA.
Matt, do you feel it's like there's a difference in how you build a team? Like in baseball, Major League Baseball, you get teams that basically you're trying to build to make it through a regular season, and then you get this, you know, this compacted, you know, best of seven or best of five or best of three, and it doesn't feel, I don't want to use the term fair, it's just like this isn't necessarily indicative of how good this team has been. You know, you get the sense of that in the basketball tournaments because it's down to one loss. I mean, it's more random than anything else. If you build a team that is as good as they are to be a number one seed, then you can win the national championship. I mean, to me, it is that simple.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen a team like Virginia, you've seen a team like Purdue have high seeds and then lose in the opening weekend. But I when I was at Jacksonville, Phil, our team was built to beat the Colts. It wasn't necessarily built for, because they were in our division. You had Peyton Manning, they had Mathis and Freeney on the outsides. You had to be built to beat them first to get into the playoffs, and then you take it from there.
Yeah, nobody's
that
ever
makes
worried.
Sense. I mean, I think.
Well, Brett, I was just going to say, nobody's ever worried about, you know, I'm building my team to beat Kentucky and beat Arkansas and beat Alabama. They're not worried about Eastern Kentucky because, you know, you play them in November and you view it as, you know, we got to win the game, but it's a tune-up.
Right. And to Matt's point, I think that's what we talk about with Big Ten football. You're trying to win ugly games in November. You're not trying to win playoff games, and you get to the playoffs outside of Michigan this year and things look differently. And I'm with you because we talk about it, Phil, in college baseball. High Point won this game. You know, Stony Brook won this game over LSU, and you're like, how in the world do these teams win these games? But we know college baseball is older. We know college basketball is older. These mid-major teams have been together 3 or 4 years. Maybe we might even see more upsets than ever before. And sometimes I guess the only other flip side of that is I believe teams that can score enough to win in the regular season, sometimes they go up against teams that aren't playing good defense, or maybe they don't play good defense. It always feels like in the NCAA tournament, you're going to get teams' best efforts, or you should. So if you're a team that doesn't play defense and you're trying to outscore somebody, your opponent might just nullify your offense one game, and that's going to be enough to kind of knock you off your path towards a Sweet 16 or beyond.
Hey, Brett, last thing. You see that Jake Paul is fighting Mike Tyson July 20th. I went back, and that's a 57-year-old versus a 29-year-old. That would be exactly the same. Now, tell me who could get these guys out. Which of these 57-year-old pitchers would be able to get a current major league hitter out? Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, Curt Schilling.
Yes, to all three. No, probably the first two more than the last one. Schilling would give up a few solo homers, but he'd kind of find a way to kind of get you out over seven innings. But I think Maddux and Glavine could really frustrate you, kind of like those grambling pitchers that were throwing 59 miles an hour to the Razorbacks and watching them swing out of their shoes. I think they could just kind of frustrate some big league guys and spot some pitches on the corners and get them swinging crazy.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. March is Seltzer Month. Try the Mr. Beast Variety Pack, Smirnoff Smash Vodka Sodas, New High Noon Variety Packs, Absolute Vodka Cranberry Variety Packs, and Clubtail Crushers.
come by Eastside Liquor at 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith for all your liquor needs. Now, back to the podcast.
Busy Thursday, man. You got a lot going on today. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I hope you're doing good. I guess you're in Greenville. But, yeah, it's a busy time. You got the women's SEC basketball tournament. The men are finishing up at Alabama. Spring football started. You got the NCAA track and field championships this weekend in Boston, and both Arkansas teams are defending champions and ranked number one. Got softball, baseball, and it's gymnastics. I'm probably leaving something out, but it's a busy time of the year, maybe the busiest, you know, with all the sports converging.
Certainly is. Now, I know you were in on some of the media sessions with players earlier today. Who did you get a chance to talk to?
Let's see, we talked to Andrew Armstrong, a wide receiver who's back. We talked to Landon Jackson, who's probably going to be a preseason All-SEC defensive end. He's a guy that could have gone in the NFL draft. He decided to come back out. That was huge for Arkansas. And then we talked to Brad Spence, who's a returning linebacker who is running, you know, with all the changes they had, linebacker guys leaving for the portal. He's been getting first-team reps. So, yeah, we talked to all those guys.
Tell me, did you have a chance to watch practice? Because I don't know if you were in the building or not, because this is the year you like get a chance to watch all of it. Were you in there?
Yeah, it rained here in Fayetteville, you know, not, you know, like sleeting snow or anything, but it was real nice outside, so they went in the Walker Pavilion. And I got there a little late because I was working late after the basketball game last night doing some stuff. But I got in there and watched probably an hour. And, of course, they're going in you know, shorts and jerseys and shoulder pads and helmets. But I guess a couple things struck me. You know, it was just interesting, I guess is a good word, to see Bobby Petrino back out there in Arkansas gear to practice. He's actually not the head coach like he was from, I guess, 2008 to 2011. But he's out there, and he's clearly running the offense. And Pittman's made that really, is really clear that it's Bobby's offense. He's going to run a hasty fit, which honestly was not something he got to do at A&M. You know, Jimbo Fisher didn't really, you know, yeah, Bobby went there and had to adjust to their terminology, which is kind of an odd way to do things, but that's, you know, Jimbo Fisher, who I don't really think wanted, no offense, but he didn't want to hire an offensive coordinator. He wanted to keep running the offense, but he basically was told to do it. But, yeah, it was interesting to see Bobby back out there, and he seemed, part I was watching, you know, he seemed like he was, you know, coaching him up. He wasn't screaming and yelling and freaking out or anything, you know. You know, with guys, of course, it's the first day of practice, but he seemed very calm and collected. And yeah, I got to watch the offensive line some with Eric Mateos, you know, new offensive line coach. They were having pretty intense, you know, work on the side, you know, doing position drills. Of course, it's really hard to tell about the defensive and offensive lines when you're not at full pads, you don't have contact. But they, you know, those guys are buying in. We know they got a lot of new offensive linemen, and we got to see, you know, Taylen Green, the new quarterback from Boise State. He ran some plays. Again, the quarterbacks are not getting hit, but he looked like, you know, very mobile, good arm. Those are just kind of some initial observations, I guess.
Hey, Bob, do you get a sense that it's a true QB competition with Green and Criswell or whoever it could be, or do you think it's Green's to lose?
I think based on what Green did at Boise State, you know, he's the most experienced guy, and they, I don't think, you know, they brought him in here to have competition, and I think there is to a certain degree he's perceived as a front runner, so he kind of has, you know, it's his job to lose, so to speak. But I do think there'll be real competition because, you know, one, Bobby Petrino's a new coordinator. It's not like one of these guys was, quote, his guy. And you know, I think they like him all, or else they wouldn't have brought him in. And obviously, you know, Criswell's in his second year, and he got, you know, Malachi Singleton is in his second year. But, I think Bobby's going to push those guys and, you know, put them in tough situations and figure out who handles the pressure the best, and, you know, who can make the checks you want and all those kinds of things. But, yeah, I think it'll be real competition, which is interesting because, you know, KJ held down the position for, I guess, the last 3 years. And then before that, they brought in Felipe Franks from Florida, and it was pretty obvious he would be the starter because KJ, at that point, I think, was a redshirt freshman. And we saw, you know, Shad Morris's team, you know, change quarterbacks very often. Kyrie Paulie's door there. And so, I think you'll see real competition because they want to push guys and see who performs the best.
Bob, I think it's really interesting sometimes on like how who goes to speak to the media first, you know, because these are decisions. I know that SIDs are part of that, but they got to get clearance from coaches on this too. Armstrong makes perfect sense. Leading receiver returning this year. May end up being a team captain. Landon Jackson, obvious reasons. Brad Spence, I would not have expected that. You know, I mean, they put him as the one of two defensive players to speak the first day of spring practice. And I know Sam has talked about some of the younger linebackers that are returning that are part of the linebacking core from last year that played a little bit. Spence is one of them. I think he had an interception return for a touchdown the first game of the year. But, you know, that's a position of need still. I think they're still going to go into the portal and find somebody once the portal opens again. But I find it interesting that Spence was out there to talk, which to me tells us that they want him to be one of the starters. They want him to win a job.
Yeah, one of the guys might have requested him, but yeah, they're not going to put a guy there that they think is not going to be one of their key players. And of course, we saw so much turnover there. And also, you want a guy that feels comfortable talking in front of the media. You know, it's one thing if a guy's talking to somebody one on one. Another thing, if you know, there's always everybody's filming and they're going to post on the internet, you know, 15 minutes and all those kinds of things. But yeah, I thought they all did a good job of handling things. Well, one of the more interesting things was, of course, you know, Armstrong is a receiver, but somebody asked him just overall thoughts on the offense, and he said, "I think I got this right. I don't have it in front of me," but he said the offensive line looked beautiful, which I don't think we heard that a lot last year, probably never, but. You know, it's good to show support. I mean, it's like spring training in baseball, right? Everybody's undefeated. Everybody's feeling good. Everybody thinks they're going to win the pennant. But you do feel like there's a new vibe. Obviously, by Petrino, you know, he's an elite coordinator and play caller, and being back in Arkansas is a pretty unique situation. Somebody was talking to me about it the other day, and I just really couldn't come up with another parallel where a coach had been fired and then, you know, welcome back. And I think it's a good move because he's an elite offensive coordinator, but it'll be interesting to see how it works. But, yeah, there just seems you got some new blood out there. Obviously, you got a lot of transfers. You got a lot of the freshman signees now. It's almost – it's not required, but it's you know, more – the majority of them are reporting, you know, at semester so they can get a jump start on their college careers. But, yeah, there's a lot of new guys and some new excitement and – We'll see how that plays out, but right now everything's beautiful, as Andrew Armstrong said.
I like it. A little beauty last night in Bud Walton. Khalif Battle has just been putting on a show. But what were your thoughts last night on how the Hogs responded to LSU?
Man, they played really well. I mean, I think they were a 2 or 3 point favorite. You know, based on what I saw on one of the betting lines, but yeah, Arkansas, it was funny. It was almost a reversal of what happened to Arkansas at LSU. Arkansas didn't win by 21, but in the game down in Baton Rouge, that LSU won 95-74, and I think Arkansas scored the last 7 points. So that was a real, you know, lopsided game. LSU led for just like 37 minutes and 8 seconds. Don't have the box in front of me, but I think that's right. And they, you know, in Arkansas last night led for like 37 minutes and 50-something seconds. So both teams, you know, I think Arkansas took the lead for good with like 16 minutes left in the first half on LSU's jumper. So Arkansas was pretty, I mean, they weren't in total control of the game because they got out to 12 and LSU cut it to 4. But they led for the last, you know, whatever, 36 minutes, basically. So, and they led by as much as 16. And LSU hung in there, but I think it was a real good win for Arkansas because LSU had been playing well. They'd won 4 or 5. They'd beaten Kentucky in Baton Rouge, and they'd gone to South Carolina and won it. Just a shocking game. This is when South Carolina was playing really well. So LSU had some quality victories, and of course they already, you know, laid it on Arkansas pretty good, beating them by 21. And so I think that was a real good win for Arkansas's confidence. You know, they did the senior honor stuff after the game, so you can imagine how awkward, bad, whatever you want to say, it would have been if the players had. It was very quick, thankfully, because we're on deadline and everything. But you can imagine what that ceremony would have been like if Arkansas lost. And I give the fans credit. You know, the ones who came out, a lot of them stayed for the ceremony, cheered on the players. Thankfully, it was very quick. I'm sure the players appreciated it. It was a feel good night for Arkansas senior night. The seniors played a big role in the game. And I thought that was one of the better wins of the year.
Tennessee's the best team in this league right now, and I wasn't saying even close, but maybe there's a couple other teams that are playing well you could put up against them, but the kind of run that Tennessee is on right now, and that would be independent of whether or not they defeat Kentucky, because that's who they finish up against. Even if they don't win the SEC tournament, do you think Tennessee has done enough to earn a number one seed? There's a couple other programs out there. I think that number one, two, three top seeds are probably spoken for. Tennessee, I think right now, has an edge on Arizona, Iowa State, maybe North Carolina too. But they look like a real contender.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've always played elite defense and you know, been able to grind games out and frustrate the team. But they haven't been super effective on offense. And that's where Dalton Connect, you know, transfer from Northern Colorado, I guess. He's taking them to another level because, you know, they're a much better offensive team when he's in the game. He can just score in a variety of ways. Obviously, he's got a great jump shot, and he can go to the hole, and he just kind of glides in there. And he kind of had some Khalif Battle kind of games in terms of scoring earlier in the season. Now maybe teams are focusing more on him, and, you know, I think he's a pretty good passer, too, and that frees up. He definitely creates, you know, shot opportunities for his teammates because he's going to get so much attention. But, yeah, I really like it. Yeah, I think Tennessee should be a number one seed. I mean, the SEC is really good this year, and they've had some really good wins. And I think they're super talented. You know, they've got older players. They've got, like, well, I mean, I guess Connect's older, but he's a new guy. And they've got a lot of players that have been through the war, so to speak. And so, yeah, I really like Tennessee as a team.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hickey and Hole Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hole Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
You know, one of the things I think, Matt, that is an exercise in futility and makes me kind of question, why are we even doing this? Keeping standings for Grapefruit League and Cactus League spring training baseball games. Mm-hmm. They actually, like, keep standings for this. I don't even know. Why would we do something like this? Why are we keeping standings for games that literally do not count?
Maybe it's the same reason Jake Paul gets to fight Mike Tyson. You know, it's something that does not matter. Because you use the analogy, you're having professional old dude on professional young guy, but it's professional old dude on amateur young guy. And so right. it's he's not a real, you know, like what? Who, if it wasn't for this flash or this pizzazz or whatever you're talking about, nobody would pay money to watch this dude fight. He's not.
Well, that's right. Out of the 10, I think it's 10 fights that Jake Paul has had. Not all of them are real pro fights. Like, there's a difference between a professional fight that's actually going to count in somebody's record, and I think those are probably the fights where you don't have the headgear, and the exhibition, which was, I think Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. was an exhibition, which means it doesn't count on their records. I don't think Tyson's had a real pro fight since 2005. And I'm reading the story, you know, because this fight is going to be in Arlington at the Cowboys Stadium, that it's up to the Texas Board of, well, I don't know exactly what the organization is, but they're the ones who, you know, license MMA or any kind of combat sport in the state of Texas. So it'll be up to that commission whether or not this fight on July 20th is either an exhibition fight or a professional fight. I'd be Tyson be like, look, no thank you. Really, we don't need to put this on my professional record. It's my record speaks for itself by now. But you're right. I mean, it'd be the same idea that's an exhibition. Every one of these baseball games is an exhibition, yet there it is on the Major League Baseball website, on ESPN. The Dodgers lead the Cactus League by one game over the Royals.
It's like preseason football. And I told you how the Jacksonville Jaguars, you had to beat the Colts in your division, you know, to get into the playoffs. And that's.
Yeah. I mean, that's the team that ran the division for all those years. So you look at it exactly the same way. It's like, well, if we're going to win this division, we got to beat them.
But the Colts would go 0-4 in preseason every year.
Yeah.
You know, like it's, but why do we
keep
the preseason?
Isn't it Baltimore that's got some sort of a long, a lengthy losing streak in preseason games? I think it's like 3 years in a row they've lost every preseason game.
I loved how LaDainian Tomlinson, his last, I don't know, 6-7 years, he did zero preseason reps because there's no reason. I think Emmitt Smith even was one of the ones that he would hold out camp. They say a money issue, but you didn't need Emmitt Smith at camp. You know, you don't need a 7-year all-pro running back at camp. You just need to make sure he's there week one.
Well, yeah, I'm sure baseball's got to be different than that because, you know, you got to keep the arm in shape. You got to have a certain amount of throwing that you do on a week-by-week basis, certainly for pitchers. And they want to get those live reps because, you know, you can't simulate a live game situation, even if it's you know, pitching against live hitters, you know, with fielders behind you. It's not the same thing if they're not from a different team and they don't know you quite as well. But you know, to me, spring training is more about the battles for this position or that position or who's going to crack the major league roster more than the final score.
Yeah, it's like, the spring game. Every opportunity you go out there and there's film rolling and you're competing at a high level, I mean, you're being evaluated.
Absolutely. You know, and oh, I was reading a text here, so I got off my little train of thought. What was I thinking of here? Exhibition baseball, preseason football, and the things that... Oh, this is what it was. I'm texting with Arnes about this. He's a Red Sox fan. You do have a team that you would pick, Matt, that if you were to root for some baseball team, who would it be?
Well, I don't... My pops is a Redbirds fan, a Cardinals mm-hmm. fan, so I guess my first game I went to, you know, was a Cubs-Cardinals game. But no, I do not actually. I don't. I have a soccer team, but I don't have a baseball team.
Zach's a Red Sox fan, but he's over the Red Sox because they just kind of can't get out of their own way. Make a lot of really poor decisions, and kind of started with trading Mookie Betts. So he's looking for a new team. For some reason, he texted me asking if I think the Pirates should be his team. Like, I would only wish that on somebody I don't like, on my worst enemy. And Zach and I may have had a run-in or two here or there, but we're not at that point anymore. And so I don't really, like, you don't want this. You don't want this, Zach. This is not something you really want to soak in for a while. If you think you're bitter at the Red Sox, becoming a Pirates fan is not another way to sort of, like, overcome the bitterness or find happiness. It just isn't there.
I would be an A's fan. They're about to transfer to Las Vegas. You can kind of get them in their last hoorah there.
Yeah,
their lame
get them
season.
When they're at their lowest, because this next year is going to be their lowest.
And when they get to Vegas, there's going to be an influx of cash. They're going to be better. You've seen what Vegas team, you go to hockey. Didn't they win it their first year?
I think they won it their first or second year.
You mean Vegas squads are booming.
I would, so between now and then, when the A's finally do get to Vegas, they don't even know where they're playing next year. Are they going to play in Sacramento? Are they going to split the year between Sacramento and Salt Lake? Will they split the season between two different AAA ballparks in Salt Lake? Or will they just try to re-sign again at the Oakland Coliseum and play there a couple more years with sewage coming through the shower drains? It's going to be a miserable few years for that team. And I don't know if you saw, the A's released the drawings of what they want their new ballpark to look like. And it looks like the Sydney Opera House. I mean, it really does. It looks like the Sydney Opera House. Of course, Vegas is a desert and Sydney is anything but. I mean, it looks like it would be really awesome if they can find a way to pull this off. It's the roof would actually be the video board. I mean, it looks as futuristic of a ballpark as I've ever seen. Here's the thing, though. The A's still have, like, released renderings of three other ballparks they were supposed to build in Oakland, and it never happened there. This is also an instance of ownership that can't get out of its own way. I'd be surprised if this ballpark is actually built to look the way that it looks right now, because it looks, well, I mean, remember the Roomba? Now, they actually built that thing. But I believed in the Raiders' ownership more than I believe in the Nepo baby that owns the Oakland Athletics, who made his money through, I think, the Gap. I think it's his family that owned the Gap and kind of started that whole thing. So I'd be surprised if that ballpark's ever built.
I saw some early propaganda for Razorback football season this year, and I thought it was funny that they still had Rocket Sanders doing a thing. When
Where did you see this?
On the news, on the TV screen yesterday when you were I believe I might have been doing the post game show. It was somewhere in there, but they cut to a commercial. They had Dwight McLaughlin doing something, and they had Rocket Sanders, and they said, "Come get your 24." Your 2024 season, and you're just like, guys, how are y'all a multi-million dollar organization, and y'all are putting guys that aren't even on the team, and then a guy that's that went cross town to South Carolina, and he's in there, and it was funny.
Did you just take a play from 2022 and move it to the promo that they used for last year and just use that little cut of it? You know, this happens really quickly sometimes. I think it was Isaiah Nichols that was on the UAMS radio ad on the Razorback Sports Network, and then he went into the portal, and you had to get that commercial off of the log immediately. You know, I think Jersey Wolfenbarger was on one of those ads too. Man, you had to look at that and think to yourself, what year is it right now?
Yeah, well, I thought maybe it was going to say 2023, you know, and then it said, get your C, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, okay.
JT says he's a Sox fan, but he thinks the Sox are going to suck. Well, if you think the Sox are going to suck, may I introduce you to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Go ahead and be a Braves fan, JT. That's what he says he wants to be. Mason says you should be a Braves fan, Matt, because they're going to be really good. Although, I know Acuna had a bit of a knee injury, but I think he avoided a major knee injury.
Tim McGraw is a Braves fan.
Making a face.
I could never be a Braves fan. If Timmy McGraw is your, yeah, I don't.
Tim McGraw should have never been a Braves fan. His father pitched for the Mets and the Phillies. What is he going to do? Those were division rivals of the Braves. He shouldn't have been a Braves fan.
He said, I haven't seen the Braves play a game all year. That's honey do this, honey do that. You ain't much fun since I quit drinking. You know, I ain't seen the Braves play a game all year.
You think you're going to drop like country lyrics on me and I get it?
Some of the times I just start talking and I don't even know where I'm going. You know, I just kind of let it navigate.
That's why live radio is so much fun to listen to. JT and Laurel say, yeah, he reminds us. Isaiah Campbell was traded to the Boston Red Sox. So I hope he gets up there. I hope he will be up there because he stayed. He was up with the Mariners from what, about the middle point of the season to the very end, and he was good. So, I mean, I'm not going to root for the Red Sox, but I'm going to root for Isaiah Campbell. And Stan wants Zach to be a Yankees fan because they're the baseball equivalent of Notre Dame. You know what? That is exactly right. The Yankees are the equivalent of Notre Dame because what the heck have either of those teams won lately? Nothing. That's fun to think about.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.